All right. I think people are just tired of this warm weather. It looks like by the size of the crowd this afternoon that they're getting tired of it. Praise the Lord. But it'll be gone. You know, this air conditioner, it doesn't do as good as it could, but it doesn't do too bad. It feels pretty good in here. So praise the Lord for that. We don't have to suffer through that. Now, I have to announce this because I was supposed to announce it this morning. And I'll just have to do with as few people we have here, but there is a special meeting next Sunday after the second service. So I'm going to shorten that up a little bit, but it's just one thing we got to cover. The Lord's laid something on my heart, and I need to bring it before the congregation and see what you guys think about it. So we'll have a special meeting. It won't take long, I don't think, but we will have that next Sunday, and it'll be in the bulletin, and we'll put an announcement on the board as well. I'm supposed to do that, and I forgot all about it. I'm going to blame Mr. Fox. He took a little of my time today, so I'm going to blame him. And I was running late, and I don't want to be long-winded, but I am sometimes. Praise the Lord for that. So anyway, special business meeting will be next Sunday afternoon, and we'll cover what we need to cover. Right, we're talking about Habakkuk now, and again, I there's a lot of people that aren't here that really I'd love them to finish this out. So we'll see how far we get today, but Habakkuk had to learn a lesson. And the lesson that Lloyd Martin Jones preached, the message from Habakkuk, and it was fitting, and maybe this is a message we're going to have to preach in the years coming. I mean, it's very possible. I told you that. If I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but if Kamala gets to be the president of the United States, we could be looking at World War III, because her policies amongst the world is gonna, they're not gonna be afraid of the, you know, I guess I didn't understand how much people were afraid of Mr. Trump in the United States when he was president. They were literally afraid of him, and they're not afraid anymore. And Iran's not afraid, and Iraq's not afraid, and obviously Putin's not afraid, and it's gonna escalate, and the United States was the calming factor, and there no longer are, and they won't be under her. That would be my guess. And again, there's some interesting times coming up. We may preach a message. And he said this about World War II when they were in the midst of World War II. He said, you got to remember from the book of Habakkuk, God is in control of every nation. God's in control. And his second point was God has a divine plan. And we know that. And then third, he said, God has a divine timetable. He's going to do it when he chooses to do, not what we want, when we want, but when he wants. But I still like the fourth point. History is bound up. God is bound up with the divine kingdom. It's all about his kingdom one day. All that's happening is just to prepare for that kingdom one day. And so if God chooses to do it, it's for the result of his kingdom. You know, if God chooses to let America grow weak and World War III comes, or Iran does complete because of the money, all the monies we've given them, they complete the bomb and the nuclear bomb and they let it off. It's all to prepare for God's kingdom. It's all to prepare in time for the Antichrist to come in and have, that's all in preparation for God's kingdom. And that's what the Habakkuk had to learn. And that's why the theme of Habakkuk is the just shall live by faith. And you'll see that when we go through chapter 2, where why Habakkuk came to the conclusion, the just shall live by faith. He couldn't justify God using Babylon, a wicked nation, to destroy Israel. He couldn't gather his fingers around it. He couldn't wrap his mind around it, but he came to the conclusion, the just shall live by faith. It's all in God's hands. And so that's why for today, it's an absolutely timeless book, time-given book for us to look at. The book of Habakkuk is profound because it raises deep questions about the working of God in history. Why God does what he does, why he does it in the way he does it, and sometimes simply why God does nothing. It is profound to us because The answers God gives, although the righteous may never understand it, what he is doing in history, we should learn to live by faith, knowing he's in control. That's the lesson of Habakkuk. That's why this book is known by the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk had to learn. He couldn't bring his mind around it. He never could wrap his mind around it, why God would raise up a wicked nation like. And I'll give you an illustration in just a second that'll help put it into perspective for you as it did for me. Again, Habakkuk had that problem. He lived through a period of national revival, followed by a period of spiritual decline. And when he cries about it to God, God replied that he was sent in Babylon, you know the story, to be the agent of judgment on his people. But that's not what Habakkuk wanted. He was looking for another revival. That's what he wanted. But in addition to not getting what he wanted, the further problem comes of reconciling how God's actions with what he knew of God's moral standards, that he would choose Babylon. And so let me illustrate. And I think you know this today. That's why this attendance is the way it is in our church. Our churches aren't where they need to be. Would you agree with me on that? I think Faith Baptist Church is a wonderful church. And I am privileged to pastor a wonderful church. Because I know all of you. And I know your hearts. But this is I'm not saying the greatest church or the best church, but this is a unique church in the world today amongst Christianity. If you could go out in the world, you'd find out there's a lot of churches out there that have compromised God's. I can't even believe how many churches have swallowed the LGBTQ philosophy hook, line, and sinker. Not only are they welcome to become members, but they're bringing them on staff. They're developing churches around that. You'd be shocked at how many churches are following that level. So I would say churches, the Church of America, the churches in America today, in the world today, aren't what they need to be. And so we would pray and ask God. That Habakkuk saw Judah wasn't where they needed to be. Now follow me, the illustration here. So you can see what Habakkuk's going through. And the church isn't what it needs to be today. So we pray for God to come down and work. That's what our prayer is, like Habakkuk. God, come down and do a work in Judah. He wanted revival. That's what we want. We want revival. But we know that the church has to be disciplined. The church, God's going to have to bring judgment down upon the church to bring them back to where they need to be. And so we pray for God's judgment. We pray for God to work and change the church. That's what Habakkuk did. But now let's say that God turns to us, and he doesn't say this, but this is what God's plan is. He's raising up China, a communist, wicked nation. And they come over and take over America. Now, it's very possible. Do you know how much China owns of America? They own hundreds and thousands of acres of land. They own all our national monuments. And somebody told, we were talking about this, about the Social Security system. You know what keeps the Social Security alive for those of you who receive it, and I hopefully that'll receive it in a year, is the loans we get from China. So let's just say God's raising up China and he brings China, and China takes over America. What's going to happen to the church? It's not going to even exist as it is today. And so you sit back and you say, God, I prayed for your judgment. I prayed for you to change the church. I prayed for you to work. But that's not what I prayed for. Not for a communist country to come in that is atheistic, that doesn't even believe in God, doesn't even practice godliness, a nation that is as wicked as the day is long, that's not what I wanted. I wanted revival. Are you getting the picture now of where Habakkuk is? He was just praying for God to judge they needed judgment. Their courts were bad. There were violence. It was wickedness that was prevalent in the land. They needed judgment, but that's not the judgment they wanted. And if God allowed China to be raised up, and you know what? This church wouldn't even exist as it is today. But we prayed for God to work. And it's very possible God is at work. And would God be wrong if he raised up China to destroy America and destroy really the church in some respects? No, because it's all about his kingdom. See, you see the dilemma? I think people today who prayed for revival, who prayed for that the church needed to be dealt with, it needed to come back to God, and then China comes in and takes us over, they would be almost embittered at God. See, I'm trying to give you an illustration of what was going on in Habakkuk. He counted Babylon as we would count China. They were pagan. They were wicked. They were godless. I mean, they came in and destroyed the temple. They came in and destroyed Jerusalem. They weren't godly in any shape, way, or form. Israel lost all their forms of worship that they had. They had no temple. And so I think you can begin to see where Habakkuk's dilemma was. You know, to make it even a little more practical, what if you were working, still at work, and someone just was wicked? They spread lies about you. They treated you like trash. They went to the boss and told lies about you, how bad you were, and they were all lies. And then it comes time for a promotion, and guess what? They get the promotion, and you don't. That's a little bit of what Habakkuk's going through, folks. That's why Habakkuk is so timely for today. Habakkuk said, you know, you need to discipline the church. Well, he didn't say the church. He said Judah, Israel. And when God said, and he said, have you fallen asleep? Why aren't you doing it, God? God said, I'm already working that plan. I'm raising up the Chaldeans. And God may be raising up China. He may be raising up Russia. I don't know. I don't know what God's plan is, but he's in control of all nations. He has a perfect plan, a perfect timetable, and it all centers around his kingdom. And so that's where we're at. That's why I think this is a very, very helpful. So now Lloyd-Jones continues his sermon. That was just the beginning of his sermon. And so he went to the next step, and he said, how do you deal with things when they go bad, like China taking over America? How do you deal with that? How do you handle that? He's talking to Habakkuk. When God comes in and literally destroys Israel, an ungodly, godless nation, how do you handle that? How do you handle when somebody who's wicked is a day as long and they've lied about you, they've lied to the boss, they played the game, and they get the promotion and you don't? The author used an illustration that hit home to me. You know, my dad had prostate surgery the same year, same age as what I had prostate surgery. And then, I don't know how many years later it was, but he started getting cramps and he started having some problems. And so he went to his doctor, and I'm not going to tell you who the doctor was. He went to his doctor, and his doctor said, yeah, you have high blood sugar or high this, so we got to get that under control. He wasn't a diabetic like my Uncle Gil was, but he wanted Dad to take shots. And we met with the doctor and said, you know, we think it's something else. And he kept saying, when we get his blood sugar, we get his sugar and his blood count in control, when we get that all under control, then we'll look and see. But until we get that under control, we're not going to do anything. This went on for about a year. And Dad got really bad. And finally, they had no choice, but they did. They found out that it wasn't that he had high, the reason he had high blood sugar is his liver was filled with cancer. If they would have found that and did that test a year earlier, you know what? But by the time they found it, because they said, no, it's just high blood sugar. By the time they found it, it was spread through and there was nothing they could do at that point. They gave my dad, I think, four weeks to live, a month to live, and he lived for three weeks and he passed away. How do you deal with that doctor? Everybody in the family said, you ought to sue that guy. That's not the answer. How do you deal with a doctor who gave a wrong prognosis? I mean, he didn't have a wrong action, but he did have a wrong prognosis. He wouldn't listen and he wouldn't deal with the problem that we thought it was, but he said, we'll deal with that later on. So how do you deal with that boss? How do you deal with America? How do you deal with that doctor that has wronged you? Well, that's a little bit what you find in Habakkuk. And in Lloyd-Jones found four things. And I don't think I'll have time to give you all, but he said there's four actions. These are the steps you need to take when you've been wronged. Through a doctor, you've been wronged through a family member, you've been wronged through a boss. You know, we feel like we've been wronged through politicians. We've been lied to from politicians. You know, I hate to keep coming back to this, but you listen to Kamala talk, I'm telling you what, it's mind-boggling. That's not what she is. She's a politician. She just wants to get elected. She's not a patriot who's concerned about the next generation. It's coming, folks. So how do you deal with it if she wins? How do you deal with the direction America's going to go and what's going to happen? How do you deal with it? That's where they were in World War II. And he gave four steps, and he took it out of Habakkuk. And number one, and we'll look at these specifically, how they fit into and exactly what Habakkuk did do. But he said, number one, when that happens to you, the first thing you have to do is stop to think. Stop and think. Stop and think. See, most of us have a tendency, and I know I'm guilty of this too, to talk first and think later. But I like what James said. James said in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. You know, we just react. We react at the doctor, we react at the boss, we're upset with the politicians, we're upset the direction of the world, and if that were to happen, and China were, or Russia were, a communist country were to take over America, it would be devastating. How do you deal with all these things? Well, he said the first thing you do, you have to stop and just think. Don't speak, don't react. Just stop and speak. For when we speak first, we often muddle ourselves by fanning the flames of our own unbelief, and we muddy the waters of ignorance. When we shut up and think, we begin to sort out things and allow the light of God to shine under the situation. So that's what Lloyd-Jones found in Habakkuk. Number one, Habakkuk had to stop and think, and that's the advice he gave to people in World War II. Stop and think. Don't react. Don't come unglued. Don't talk to everybody in the shop. Don't sue a doctor. Don't go crazy. Stop and think. That's the first step. The second step was to restate basic principles. Really, what he's saying there, go back to what you believe. When you start to think, you must not begin with your immediate problem. Don't center on the immediate problem or what's happening before you. Go further back to apply the strategy of the indirect approach. It's like the idea, this is what the author said. You're walking on a sidewalk and the sidewalk's in the middle of winter, it's been cleared. And the snow has been taken off, but you know what still could be on that sidewalk? Black ice. where you can't see it. But our parking lot is famous for this. We can get that all plowed, but you come walking along, if you're not paying attention, you hit that black ice, what do? You're going to fall. So he said, when you know there's the black ice, you need to focus. You need to walk with your head down, looking, putting your feet flat on the ground, taking step by step. Because if you just gingerly walk up there, what's going to happen if you hit black ice? You are going down. You're going to go down hard. That's the idea here. You need to focus. Focus. Focus, restate. Go back. It's the same thing I taught you this from Isaiah chapter 41. You need to go back and remember. Remember the great truths. Remember the, and I specifically tell you, remember the attributes of God, because that's what Habakkuk did. And I'll show you what attributes next week. Go back and remember. You know, Isaiah went back and stated four things. You need to go back and remember that, number one, that God is an eternal God. God has always been, and God always will be. I don't think you understand the importance of understanding that. Listen, I can't understand eternality because I'm finite. And to me, everything's got to have a beginning. Satan had a beginning. The angels had a beginning. This world had a beginning. All the planets had a beginning. Everything had a big beginning but God. You say, how is that possible? I don't know. How is it possible that he's always been and always will be? I don't know how it's possible, but it is the truth. It is what you've got to go back. And Isaiah said, you've got to go back to the eternality of God, that God has always been, God was always be. God was here before the problem came. God will be here after the problem, because God will put the problem into his perspective, because he's an eternal God. So go back to what you know. And maybe it's not that, but that's I take it from Isaiah, and so I have four prayers. I do this every day of my life. I thank God that he's an eternal God. I go back to what I know. Number two, I thank God for creation, that God is a creator. I think that's the way Satan wants to destroy people about Christianity, is through creation. That's why one of the first things they did years ago in the public school, they took out creation and put in evolution. Why? Because if they could get people believing in evolution, they would believe sooner or later that there really is no God. And that's what they did. You know where that comes from? That comes from Marxism. That comes from Russia. That comes from Stalin and Lenin. If you could teach the kids that there's no, that's why they hired a Darwin to go to the island of Galapagos or whatever that's called. You guys know that. Pastor Josh, what is it called? Galapagos. He went to that island to prove that evolution took place. He was there and he came back with some documents. And he gave him the documents to prove that evolution is real. That's what it is. It's not creation, it's evolution. But when it was all said and done, you know what Darwin came back and said? I lied about all of it. I was wrong. You know what they said? It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. All that matters is, here we go. We can prove that there is evolution and God doesn't exist. Because if you can prove evolution, you can prove there is not a God. And so Isaiah saw it as being very important that you go back and realize that God is the creator of everything. He's the sustainer. He's eternal. He's the creator and sustainer of everything here. Everything you have comes from God. Everything we are is because of God. Everything in this world, yeah, I'm including the planets. I'm including the rotations. I'm including the galaxies that are out there. And I don't know how much is out there, but all that came from God in those 6 days, literal 6 days, God created everything. He said, go back to what you know. Restate the principles that you know about God. Well, number one, he's eternal. So I thank him every day that he's eternal, everlasting God. Number two, I thank him for being the creator. Number three, I thank God for being, and this comes out of Isaiah 41. I thank God for being the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty God. There's nothing he cannot do. God, you are the almighty, all-powerful, all-everything God. There is nothing you cannot do. You know, I go back and think about the Red Sea. He just simply had to, I don't know how he did it. He just stopped that sea and parted it. and let Israel walk across in dry ground. Joshua needed a little more time, so he just reached out, as hot as it is, and made the sun to stand still so Joshua could complete his victory. You know, Israel walked around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, not saying a word. The seventh day, they walked around seven times. They blew the trumpets, and with a great shout, those great and mighty walls just simply collapsed right before Israel. And I don't think they collapsed this way. I think they collapsed that way. All I do is got to think, man, my God is a powerful God. There's nothing he cannot do. And then I go back and restate and think in my mind, God's an omniscient God. He's an all-knowing God. He knows my thoughts even before I think them. He knows everything I'm going to do today. Man, my day on Thursday didn't go according to my plan. But a lot of good came out of that day because it was God's plan. See, God knew exactly where I needed to be, exactly when I needed to be, and he knew when I was going to be there. God knows every thought, every mind. He knows the very hairs of your head, and they're even numbered. God is an omniscient, all-knowing God. He knows where you'll be tomorrow. He knows when you're going to die. He knows when you'll go to heaven. He knows every single thing about you. See, that's what Habakkuk needed to do. Stop and think. But what do you think about? Not the problem, but your God. And restate what you know about God. See, you may restate something totally different. But that's what I do every day. My God is an eternal God. My God is a creator and sustainer. My God is an almighty, all-powerful God. My God is an omniscient God, all-knowing. He knows every thought, everything that takes place. My God. So why shouldn't I trust him today? See, we focus on the problem. But it's not the problem you need to focus on. It's God you need to focus on. So Habakkuk had to learn this. He had to stop and just begin to think. Not about the problem, but what? About his God. Why would God do this? Is God capable? Well, my God's an eternal God. My God's the God of creation. My God is a powerful God. My God is an all-knowing God. My God cannot make a mistake. My God cannot tell a lie. My God cannot fall asleep. My God knows everything that takes place in my life. That's my God. He said, stop and think, restate what you know. And most of you have been around God for a long time. You need to go back to what you know, what the Bible says, or what you've seen, or the miracles that have taken place. You need to restate in your mind. Put it in your mind. This is the God I serve. And number three, he said, apply the principles. The fact of the matter that is all problems have a capable solution. Only if you put them in the right context, in God's timetable. In God's plan. The way to interpret a difficult passage of scriptures is to consider the context. To make a mistake with a phrase we use, and a lot of preachers preach, we call it preaching out of the context. They take a good sermon and a good phrase and they preach it, but that's not within the context of what God had in mind. We talked about this when he said, stand fast in the faith. We misuse the scriptures. We undermine the scriptures. But all you have to do is kind of get the context, compare scripture with scripture. And if this scripture says this is what it is, then this scripture has to mean something a little bit different than probably what you think it says, because God cannot go against scripture. It won't go against each other. You have to find it within the context. When you put the problem before us into context, the context will generally interpret it for you, that God has a plan. Listen, this is exactly from preparing this message. This is exactly what I did, and God gave me such a peace because I was scared to death, and you know that Mr. Trump wasn't going to be reelected. And you know, honestly, I'm not sure he will be. You know who I was scared for? Those three little granddaughters you saw. I let it bother me. But then I read this. And it said, stop and think. Just stop and think. Stop shooting off your mouth. Stop and think. Restate the principles. And then reapply those principles to within the context that God has a perfect plan and God has a perfect timetable. But it all centers around His kingdom. Restate the principle. And then the fourth thing, and this is where Habakkuk came in. He did stop and think, and I'm going to show you that next week. And he did restate the principles. And he did apply them within the context, but he was still in doubt. Because he couldn't get over the fact that Babylon was, and the Chaldeans were so wicked, why would he use a wicked nation and raise up a wicked nation to destroy Israel? Why? He couldn't get past that. He struggled with it. And here's the fourth point Lloyd-Jones made. He said, if you're still in doubt, you can't get past that. Commit the problem to God in faith. That's what Habakkuk, probably to this day, if he were still alive, would tell you, he still doesn't understand why God would do that. But he said, I came to the conclusion, the just shall live by faith. I'm just going to trust God by faith. So you stop. You rethink what you know. You restate the principles you know. You go back to the attributes of God and what God is. Then you apply it to the context of the situation. And if you're still in doubt, then commit it to God. That's what I had to do. I got on my knees one day and said, God, Mr. Trump wins. It's a little reproof for Christianity. It's a little reproof for America. But if he loses, you have a perfect plan. And so either way, I win. If Mr. Trump wins, maybe I get a little reprieve with my granddaughters. If he loses, just puts me a little closer to his kingdom. See, it's a win-win situation when the just shall live by faith. See, that's what we need to come to, folks, with this election coming up, with the war in Iran and Israel, and what's happening with Ukraine and Russia. All this is taking place in the movements of communist China, where they've spotted two of their planes over Alaska. These air balloons that are there, that are taking pictures with them buying all the land near our military places. Okay. You know, I could focus on that and concentrate on that and worry to death about it. Or I can stop. I can think. And I can restate the principles that my God is an awesome God. My God's an eternal God. My God's creator. My God has created everybody on this world. God's in control of every nation. He has a perfect timetable. He has a perfect plan. My God is all powerful. My God knows everything that's going to happen. And if I still can't understand that, putting it into the context of what I need, then I just say, God, I don't know what's happening. I don't know how to justify it, but I do know this. The just shall live by faith. I'm just going to trust you to complete your perfect plan. That's what you need. I'm just telling you. When people are panicking, people are going crazy in this world, we sit back at Faith Baptist Church. We've done our part. We voted. We've done our part. We've prayed. But we come to the conclusion, the just shall live by faith. That's the book of Habakkuk. That's why it's such an amazing book. Because Habakkuk had to come to that point. And next week, I'll show you how he comes to that point. What a tremendous book, the book of Habakkuk. Let's pray. Lord, this book is for today. Oh, I know it happened thousands of years ago. It happened with Babylon and Israel, really. It had nothing to do with America. It had nothing to do with the church. But its principles play out the same. What lessons we can learn from Habakkuk. And we'll see next week how exactly he applied these principles to his life. God, and when it's all said and done, that's all I can ask for my people. That we come to the conclusion that we're not going to fret, we're not going to whine, we're not going to cry, we're not even going to worry. For the just shall live by faith. That's what I want my people to see, because that's what I saw. And so this political race this year, oh, it bothers me at times. I shouldn't. But it doesn't upset me anymore. Because I know my God is in control. I just stop and think, restate the principles, apply it to the context, and simply live by faith. God, help that to be my people's desires as well. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just give it to God. Give what's happened in the world to God, maybe your family, maybe at work, maybe what's happened in churches and this thing with abortion and all this LGBTQ and everything that's happening in the world today. Just stop and think. Restate what you know.